Hey everybody, it's Paul Scheer from How Did This Get Made? I wanted to let you know that we have a brand new website. It's hdtgminfo.com. You can find out everything that you need to know about How Did This Get Made on that site, where we're doing live shows, where to buy tickets, what the movies are. Everything and anything is there. And I want to let you know that we have shows coming up in New York and Denver and in some other places that we can't quite announce yet. So bookmark hdtgminfo.com. Infertility, gardening, and common. We saw The Odd Life of Timothy Green, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? Gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater, cause you know you wonder, how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am Paul Scheer, joined as always by Jason Mantzoukas. How are you, Jason?
I'm good. How are you?
And June Diane Raphael. How are you, June?
Good. Hi, Paul.
And we have a very special guest today. You know this guy from Tim and Eric and his amazing podcast On Cinema. Please welcome Tim Heidecker.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. All right, so this movie, The Odd Life of Timothy Green.
Did you pick me because of my first name for this movie?
Yes, I thought it would be good.
We went out to a bunch of Tims.
Timothy Bottoms.
Yeah. Tim Hutton.
Tim Blake Nelson.
They all wanted to do it.
Tiny Tim. Tim was in for a minute, then he fell out.
He's dead, isn't he?
Yes,
Tiny Tim.
He's dead. We found out he's dead.
But he was very happy.
So he's pretty much permanently unavail.
Right. Well, but right before we started talking.
Permanently unavail cemetery.
But didn't he record a lot of his opinions about a variety of things
that you could have said?
Including, it's kind of like Notre Dame.
Future possible storylines in movies.
We're going to cut that into this episode,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he talks about Pacific Rim.
Some graduate student wrote out like a million movie scenarios and just kept at it.
And Tiny Tim gave his opinion on a lot of them. Yeah. Yep.
And I have to say, all of them are pretty good.
Pretty dead on.
Like right on. Like, right. And he predicts like certain celebrities that really pop big and then go away. It's really amazing. So let's talk about this movie. Before we started talking, this is a movie that June and I saw in the theater with a bunch of people, and I was like, what is this movie? Because it feels a little bit like a Frank Capra-esque film.
Sure.
Like, but also written by someone who might have been going through dementia or something. Like someone who had was capable of one time of creating an idyllic world, but then just things got a little lost along the way, I feel like. I mean,
it's interesting because like you said, we were talking about it before we started, and I think that and Tim and I both were saying that we had maybe perhaps more this is without a doubt the first How Did This Get Made movie that when I at the end of watching it, I was like, oh, I might have liked this.
Right.
Like, this is not nearly as horrible as I thought it was going to be. And in fact, parts of it were genuinely won me over.
When I go through this kind of process of deciding whether or not I like something, you know, first it's got to go sort of at the gut level. Am I just like sticking my middle finger up at the screen going like, fuck you guys, why would you do this? Why did this get made? Right. Second question is sort of, you know, what is the context of this movie? Who's this movie for? You know, clearly this is a Disney movie. It's for kids or it's for young adults.
Well, that's the question. I'm curious. All right, but I'll let you finish.
Third, what are the values of the movie? Like, what do these people seem to care about most? And, you know, when I look at those three things, they all kind of check out in a positive way.
See, I take issue with that, though, in terms of the value system of the movie, because I think there are some values.
There are problematic values displayed in the film.
There are majorly problematic values. I mean, the overall, you know, synopsis of the movie is that there's a couple played by Jen Garner and
Joel Edgerton.
Who is that guy that looks like he's on the verge of tears the entire movie?
he's from The Warrior, and he's in the new
Australian Zero Dark Thirty. He's in Zero Dark Thirty.
Yeah,
amazing.
He's an Australian
actor. Wonderful. By the way, the acting in this movie.
Not bad.
Great. Yeah. I think is great.
Rosemary DeWitt.
Yeah.
Fine.
Across
Wait, was
the
that
board.
The sister-in-law?
Yeah.
She was a problem for me.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Everything she had to say, she was clearly the bad, bad guy and just outlandishly bad.
And problematically as well was Ron Livingston.
Yes.
As his
crud staff.
His bad. Yeah. His boss.
But the
boss.
Thing is, the movie is like a fairy tale, so you're going to have these big,
big
juicy characters.
That's life. Yeah.
To me, the big problem with the movie is that this couple can't conceive for reasons we don't know. because they never get into the...
The movie opens up with them basically
barren
being
womb.
Told, yeah, you're...
Barren
yeah.
womb. We don't know who...
your junk don't
we
work.
We don't know whose fault it is. But they find out they can't conceive a baby. I also love, by the way, that the doctor says, you tried as hard as you could.
Yeah.
It's like, how,
you
how,
fucked
how
as
does
much
she
as
know
possible.
That? Exactly. But anyway, that night, they... think up a child, and
they think up the perfect child.
Here's where the problem is, and this is why I take issue with the sort of moral value system in the movie. Some of the traits are great. They want their child to have a huge heart.
Love and be loved.
Be honest to a fault.
Picasso laugh.
With a pencil.
But now
this is where I take issue with the movie. A big things that they care a lot about, and I would argue the most about... are the child being not just good at art, but Picasso with a pencil,
mm-hmm.
and scoring a winning goal at a game.
Okay.
Yeah, those but guess now, what?
But
those things don't happen in the movie, except for the drawing, but those things, that kid doesn't do that. But
just not the winning goal.
Yeah, that's a little bit.
I mean, it is the winning goal, but go ahead. Sorry,
technicality.
Oh, I see what you mean. But I think that the process the family goes through is that they learn that that's not what's the most important thing.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. Is what I believe.
Well,
what I believed was that those two things, and you're absolutely right. They cared the most about those two things because that. And what I actually appreciated about the movie was about them, was showcasing them as bad parents.
Yes,
like they are consistent. Being shown to care about the wrong things, mm-hmm. to care about what other people are saying, what other people might think.
Absolutely.
I feel like the lesson of the movie is be yourself, don't worry about what other people think, don't care about the frivolous stuff like scoring the goal. Mm-hmm. Because that's basically, Picasso with a pencil is Jennifer Garner's life regret
right.
that she stopped painting, we learn. And
yes.
score the
Scoring
winning
the goal
is Joel Edgerton's life regret because he never was able to impress
but
his
when
father.
When did you see them come around and realize that those things
that's
didn't
what they're
matter.
Talking
that's what
to
I never saw.
That's what they're talking to
the woman from
House of Sand and Fog woman.
She's amazing, by the way.
Who's that? Which one was
she's the adoption lady.
The adoption lady.
Basically
right.
the whole movie is told as they're basically sitting down
Citizen
talking to you in
Kane style.
Yes, they're talking to an adoption counselor who's like, you only have a limited amount of time, you gotta impress me, like let's knock it out. Now here's my issue with this story is on the values issue is it seems like a lot of the values they're like trying to show up like take out like their petty differences with their family. It's like, see, my kid is
yes.
musical.
Oh,
you
yes.
see, like
but
they're kind
I think
of
these are all mistakes the characters make that they eventually kind of recognize
yes,
and
I
acknowledge.
Agree.
Well, but
okay.
but I see. I guess I never saw that. But also, I do think that that's not realistic to a couple who desperately wants a child. If you've been trying for that long and have been failing mm-hmm. year after year, you just want a kid.
Well, yeah. Well,
you don't give up.
They literally say like, well, we can't have a kid. We'll get a dog.
Yeah.
I don't want a dog.
Right.
Wait, there's no other option
yeah.
besides...
Well, the adoption should have been the first.
Right, adoption
thing, right?
should have been high
oh, yeah.
on the list.
That's why... That actually did confuse me, because I was like, well, why don't... Why hasn't... Like, they're I fully understand, like, that kind of, like, there is no hope, you're not going to have a biological child, but then, why not enter
or
into a discussion...
There are a lot of...
Yeah, and right. enter into a discussion
well,
about
I
adoption
think,
or
yes.
anything like that. You know, they seem...
Again, fairy tale.
Yes,
this is not
but,
a grounded movie.
Well,
I mean,
it's
a fucking
very,
pencil factory.
Yeah,
right?
I like
it's like
your Frank Capra comparison is actually quite good because there is magical realism to this fairy tale world that they've created that does bend a lot of
and
stuff.
See, that's
for
why
you.
I would actually argue that this movie is more of an adult movie than a kids movie. And seeing
I think
that
it's
YouTube,
a family movie.
I don't know because
I don't think young kids would,
yeah.
would
like
connect
movie.
With it. I don't think young kids
yeah,
would connect
because it's really
it,
about.
I bet you who would connect with it is like 13 to 16 year old girls.
Yeah, and,
okay.
and parents. I
and
feel like this
like
is a family
young adult,
movie.
It's like
yeah.
a young adult novel, like a Judy Blume book would have been, or like there's a weirdness
right.
to it. There's some romance in it with the older girl.
Well, that's a weird
baby,
romance.
Baby Mila Kunis.
Yeah, Baby Mila Kunis. I wrote that down.
I found that
so
deserved. So
did I. With the rash.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, baby.
Because the amount of times the parents attempt to have the sex talk with their 7 year old.
Yes.
Is so insane.
He's a 7 year old. He's 10.
Okay,
that's what I was.
He's
still way too young.
Yeah, he's a plant. Yeah.
He's not really a human.
Spoilers for The Odd Life of Timothy Green.
I was expecting more of the morphing of the plant.
Me too. I was disappointed. Human too. In that.
There were literally just three leaves on
you
his
leg. You wanted more leaves.
Because basically what they do is they write down all these traits, they bury it in the ground, and then during the middle of the night, there's a storm, and there comes a boy, and now they have this boy. And I agree, there are some fantastical elements, that being a huge one. But I wanted him almost to be like his journey to be that he became a tree. Almost he became more, and then he always lived in their front yard as a tree.
Yeah, that's what I thought they were going.
That's interesting.
Because he gives all these leaves away throughout that last scene, and then he says the last I left for my two parents. So you guys were which I thought was really a beautiful line about you loved me more than I could ever be loved or something like. And I thought he was gonna he'd be back in the box and a tree would grow
where
that leaf kind of.
I guess what I had a problem with though is I don't think they did love him more than he could ever be loved. Don't think they saw him. I don't think that they... I think they saw just a reflection of themselves. I don't think they ever got to
a point. I think that's partially true, but I think... I mean, I definitely... I believe that for... I'm telling you, serious. It's so crazy. But I believe for them that he was like a catalyst for change.
Yes.
And it was to
put in perspective their perceptions of what being a parent is.
Correct. To get rid of all of the, this is what I think being a parent is, and in fact introduce them to, this is what actually parenting is.
Right.
All the wishes in the box are what they, as non-parents, are thinking what parenting a kid will be like, and reality is not that. Which I actually liked, because a lot of times, and again, I cannot believe I'm defending a movie which there is a boy with leaves on his leg, and in a pencil factory town where the pencil factory is going to get shut down, so they invent a brand new pencil. I was like, none of this. This is crazy.
I also think when you're dealing with Disney, Disney put this movie out. It's a Disney movie. There, you know that this movie went through the process of getting noted to death
and discussed
to death, and the intentions and sort of the everything was in the minds of the producers and the writers.
Met Zappa is the one who came up with this idea.
I was going to bring that up.
It was his idea.
I was fascinated by that.
Another thing I like about it is that this is, as far as I know, just an original story.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's not some kind of based on a book.
It's not
some kind of property that's gotten repurposed to be a thing. I'm always on the side of that, whether or not it works all the way through.
In the world of the story, do you think that Timothy Green shows up like this to many parents-to-be, or was this...
Is
other people planted different things, would they get a different child, or does Timothy Green?
Well, because Timothy Green seemed to be very aware of his own world.
He was
aware that he was a plant child that's going to die.
He seemed like he had done this before.
But yet he was unaware. But he was unaware of many other things too. Like he didn't seem like
one of his first lines is, "You can look at my leaves, but don't ask me about them."
Yeah, don't ask me about my leaves.
That was strange.
That was strange.
Yeah. Right. But then they go and not necessarily ask him about it, but then they go and try to,
touch it and
touch
cut them off.
Yeah.
And to me, the parents...
That was crazy.
I mean, the parents essentially...
To the gay guy at the nursery, who then later is at the town meeting, is like, it's okay to be different
fabulous.
And weird.
Yeah.
I saw
them and they're fabulous.
And you get, to me, I wanted to see the story of that guy, clearly a gay guy in the choir who's hanging out with his plants.
He's fascinating.
He
right.
can't really express himself.
Didn't have a boyfriend.
But why was he also there at the pencil?
How do you know that?
At the end
because
of the movie.
I think if he had had a boyfriend,
well, that was
he would have brought him to the town hall.
It was a town hall.
I love a movie with a good old town hall meeting at the end.
It reminded me of the Gung Ho. Remember that? But there was a town hall meeting, save the factory, but he didn't even have any vested interest in the factory.
He works for the greenhouse where the guys at the factory buy their plants.
Oh,
the whole town's in.
And by the
this
way,
is
it's
another,
an industry town. It's
by the way,
industry.
Yeah,
this is another movie in which a lot of there's shots of stores in town that are boarded up and closed for business, and it's another recession movie.
Why was
but
the pencil
beautifully,
factory?
Beautifully shot. I mean,
this movie is gorgeous.
Yes, gorgeous.
The foliage is that right? The foliage.
Foliage.
Yes. The foliage. All the tinfoil trees.
It made me first of all. It made me very nostalgic for. for living on the East Coast.
We, yes. You know, yep. For fall seasons.
And New England and Pennsylvania. And also, like, this something I just thought of is at that pool party.
Yes.
I don't have a ton of friends. You know, I have friends, but yeah. I can hang out. Yeah. But I consider you guys my friends, but you know, it's when those movies, you always see these big parties where there's like 50 kids yeah. running around yeah. and all sorts yeah. of, it's nice. It's like, it's a nice little small town story.
I
have plenty of friends. I'm very happy with the number of friends I have.
How many friends?
Seven.
Oh.
Lucky.
Well, what
that's
I will,
pretty good.
Yeah. What I will that's, say that's about, good that's a good,
they're
yeah,
not
solid.
They're not all close friends.
Some are like C-list friends.
Some are acquaintances, yeah. but I consider if in, yeah. in a pinch, they
Do
would step
up. Do you think if you had a pool party, they would all come?
They would all be at the pool party for sure.
I will say, though, that pool party was not too crazy. It wasn't for a movie right, kid. Right. It was kind of like, all right, that's an acceptable kind of party. Although
I did love, though, sorry to jump ahead, no. but the soccer scene, the last... sports scene of the movie when they want Tim Green to, you know, kick the winning goal. There are shots just of him not knowing what to do, and he's turning around. And clearly the director does not know how soccer is played, because there were just clumps yeah, of yeah. like 12 kids.
Well, that scene is
together.
The most problematic scene in the movie yeah. because while he's making his run to the goal, you have the Jennifer Garner telling her sister off,
yeah.
and then you have the husband telling his father off, all during this sort of what should be probably 3 seconds in the course of the game.
Yeah, he's really yeah. just
running the ball.
But
up
the other thing, the spoiler for this scene is they've said one of their wishes is that their son score the winning goal in the soccer game. Right. And this is that scene where Timothy, previous to this, has never played in a game before.
Right.
He's terrible. The coach always keeps him on the bench.
The coach is Common.
Yep, played by Common.
Who, when he first sees Timothy Green, it seemed to me before that when they try him out for soccer, what he does is Common looks at kids and then decides that they would be,
yeah,
in.
Be on the team.
Yeah, he goes, I don't see it. And that yeah, was it. Yeah. They were in yep. an auditorium.
He just sizes them up
with their parents. Okay,
so that's not probably ever happened, right? I'd be very uncomfortable having kids if that's what happens.
If you walk them in front yeah. of a coach and he yeah. goes, doesn't got it, yeah. go. Like, not. There's no
there's no ball.
But what's crazy is, so now Timothy Green has been put in the game, he gets the ball, he starts going, Jennifer Garner starts screaming at her sister, Joel Edgerton screaming at his dad, Common is like, go Green, go, you got this. And then Timothy Green scores a goal on the wrong goal.
Which is, by the way,
75 yards in the other
right.
direction.
Yeah. Like, so at what point did people not notice yes, that was that going
he,
on?
At what point
right.
did not, yeah, exactly, they not notice he was approaching the other team's
it's
goal.
It's the most
Here's
problematic scene in the movie.
But you guys, I can justify it, because I think what was happening, I really do, I think in the world of the movie, we were to believe that everyone was so excited that Timothy was moving and doing so well that even they forgot which end was which.
Maybe.
Even the coach.
He was displaying some crazy moves.
This is, by the way, a very big game between the Erasers and the Bone Crushers. The Bone Crushers is also a very aggressive name
for a 10-year-old soccer team.
Wow, but the Bone Crushers coach calls out when Tim Green goes into the game. He calls out, smash his knees out.
Put that kid to the ground.
Yeah, take his knees out. Take his knees out is what he says.
Yeah, he's terrible. Basically Cobra Kai sensei.
But
yeah.
How about you had a couple nice cameos from Emmett Walsh and
I literally had to look it up because I was like, I thought Emmett Walsh died.
Right.
But it's J.T. Walsh that
died. J.T. Walsh.
Okay.
And then Diane Wiest is also in this movie. Both fun to see.
Great.
Good performances.
Great.
There is some interesting stuff, though, because I feel like when you meet David Morse
is his dad. Yeah.
Dave Morse, who I also like.
Love.
He's amazing in this movie.
The first introduction to him, he's like, all right, let's play some dodgeball.
Oh, yeah.
They give him the dodgeball. I guess what I'm saying is every parent in this movie or every adult in this movie is very abusive to children.
Yes.
Regardless, across
right.
the board.
Right.
And so he gets this dodgeball and he's just whipping it at kids, just knocking kids out. And he's not even really being shown shown as a villain in that scene. It's
he's played against his son, the father of Timothy Green in the movie, as being a dad that was always too tough and too competitive.
Right.
So I think that's showing him.
Okay, just being tough with those kids.
Yeah, it's like that's his thing. Is like he's roughhousing and he doesn't.
Yes,
you know,
but I do agree, Paul. He was hitting them so hard that it did seem like any parent should run in.
Well, Timothy Green, this is the crazy thing. Timothy Green, in the middle of the dodgeball scene, the sun comes out.
Yeah,
and apparently Timothy Green's thing, I guess maybe for photosynthesis purposes, is when the sun comes out, he puts his arms out and he looks towards the sun and he closes his eyes. And everybody, wherever he is, whatever is happening, everybody quiets down and looks at him. Right?
Because it is odd. If I did that, you would be
super
like,
weird. It's super weird. And also the music that's previously been playing in the scene, which I'm assuming is also playing in their lives, drops out. So they must all be like, well, where'd the music go? Well, something's happening over there.
This is another thing that you just said music, and it reminded me of the Lowrider
moment. Oh, yeah, that was weird.
Which was okay. You know, it was kind of cute. But I realize it's a thing in movies that happens when people start singing a song together. The actual song comes in to the movie. But in the world, it wouldn't and just doesn't. So it would still just be weird three people.
I would love.
Okay.
Oh, anyway, the only thing I was going to say was in the dodgeball thing, Timothy Green is like closed eyes, hands to the sky, and David Morse hits him in the back of the head with the ball.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed this, but you didn't see the ball hitting him. Did you see the ball hitting him?
Yes, you did.
You did. Okay.
You did, yeah.
I must have missed
that. Well, I like that baby Mila Kunis at one point says to him, teach me how you do that.
Yeah.
And just play your arms and stare at the sun. That's it. There's
and he goes, do you feel it? And she goes, yeah. And he goes, you're doing it.
So you think that that's how he was being kept alive?
Oh,
for
sure. I think that.
I'm assuming. I mean, he was like a tree,
thing.
Right?
Here's one of the weird things about his leaves. Sometimes they fell off and they were fully green.
No, they were darker.
Kind of browning, I think.
They were always darker in color.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it kind of moved with the seasons, I felt like. It
well, was. I also had an issue with this idea with, that's interesting, the seasons.
See, that was the lifespan of Timothy Green was from like spring to fall.
Ooh, I didn't think about that. You see, I also had an issue, though, with Timothy Green being able to pull in sunlight, but then when he's in the chlorine pool, doesn't do any damage to his...
Could have been a saline pool.
Yeah. We don't know. Could have been.
And again, I know that I will bring up a couple points here that are very nitpicky. I understand that this is a... it's a
this
fairy
tale. This is the biggest debate we've ever had on this show.
I also took issue with how much older the love interest was. Mm-hmm. Timothy Green.
She's 5 years older. She's 15. He's 10.
Oh, yeah. No, that's definitely weird.
That's very strange to me.
But I wasn't entirely sure it was a love
sexual
interest.
It wasn't sexual in any way. There was just sort of like a love.
Well, she
like
went to go kiss his lips, and then she pulled down his socks to see his leaves.
I know it wasn't sexual between
that's
the two
right,
of them.
Yeah.
I actually loved their meet cute in the beginning when she puts the cherry on top of him. I love that. But I found it very weird that Jen Garner and the Zero Dark 30 guy were making it sexual. That was
because they were horn dogs.
I think it was another case of not knowing how to deal with a new parenting situation. Mm-hmm. I mean, 11 is on that line, don't you think?
Yeah,
I mean,
really?
When you're for sure, looks like
for
a
sex?
Baby.
Not for
like,
sex,
but
for girls.
Dating.
But there's not even like for girls. I agree with that. For girls, you know, because they're not dating. They're building forts in the forest together. There's nothing. There's actually that's a great
besides
point.
Besides the kiss.
The only people putting sex onto their relationship is the adults.
Right. All right.
Like the kids themselves are building forts in the woods, are riding bikes.
Right.
They are just.
Do you think he has a branch dick?
See, that was weird.
He's like, I'm gonna blow chlorophyll all over you.
I got my leaf legs, my branch dick.
Weird to me, like it didn't
I thought
like
that was really cool.
Oh, I thought that was cool too.
With those all the leaves, the yellow and red leaves.
Yeah, I'll let hang on that leaf fort.
I thought it was cool, but it looked like like a fuck fort. I was like, why are they building this place out here?
That was the question.
To fuck in, of course.
And I guess, I guess everything can be kind of swept under the rug and saying that, well, they're bad parents. But he does have leaves on his legs, and the parents bring him to a botanist, not a doctor. Right there, and then they're
well, yeah,
and
okay.
Yeah,
oh, and they, yes, definitely. There's definitely like flaws in it in that way. Yes, they should go to the doctor for well, sure. Yeah.
If this story, but he's gonna I mean, be if like, this happened this, in reality, yes, in yeah, the real exactly, world. Yeah. Well, there's
a,
yeah.
If this happened in the real world, it would be a horror movie.
Well, yeah. I mean, the
because,
fact
like, but there, like,
it
like,
should be a horror this, movie.
In
the
a different
issue,
context, it is a horror movie.
Yes, but here's comes the issue I take with the movie, though, because I think
who insists he's your son,
and then kills an old man.
I think what you guys are saying should have been the story.
Somebody should
of the
cut
movie,
an alternate trailer of this for that.
Which is that they want all these things from their from this kid, but they're just projecting their own wants onto him.
Right.
What ends up happening, though, is not that they realize that in my mind. What ends up happening is that he teaches them how to make pencils out of leaves.
Well, he
and
teaches them how to
is
be
the strangest.
That's a bit of a MacGuffin-y kind of story. I mean, that kind of keeps the plant going.
Yeah, right. That saves the little, town.
But I don't think that's the our, lesson learned, though.
But that's our climax that we're heading into in the third act.
I think it's. I think he's teaching them to trust their. Because that was like that was their dream. Like his dream. Like they had put a. Like I guess they had like let their dreams die a little bit.
Yes.
Because they were so focused on having a kid. And like he had had these notebooks full of ideas, and those ideas also died because he put them on a shelf, and then he took those off the shelf, and then he started to like. We're getting.
What
so
was her
like
dream? That. What was her
this
dream?
This is fascinating.
I want to watch. I want to watch the last 20 minutes again because I feel like they do make it about their journey as learning. To be and learning
well,
they want to be parents.
When they talk to the woman from House of Sand and Fog, they say, yes, we made mistakes. Yes, we have learned from these mistakes. But you never really, they've only learned afterwards.
It just yeah. occurred to me
that's
that their hesitation for adoption was that in their minds, having a kid was having their kid, having this sort of genetic. You know, like you want to have Uncle Bob was an Uncle
yeah, Bob, yeah.
Uncle Bub's laugh,
sense
of, yeah. And you're this and like all these things, and what they end up with is like a 10-year-old Asian girl,
right?
And
I mean, I cried hysterically during that scene. Don't get me wrong.
And it's like
10-year-old Asian girl.
What
scene?
They realized is like
I lost it.
They
I cried in this movie. This is the third of our movies I've cried
for that. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, they,
but okay,
I see that. I see that.
Yes to all that, but. Making pencils out of leaves seemed to...
sounds like a great idea. Leaves fall to the ground. Yeah. It's just waste.
I agree. I think that... But
I didn't understand how that would make the factory more...
By the way, why...
Financially, like, I know the people aren't buying
expensive.
Pencils. I didn't think it was like, oh, the
that
lumber
pencil
is so...
That pencil definitely looked expensive.
Yeah, that was a very time-intensive process.
There's way more overhead to produce that pencil.
Casting it in some kind of mold.
Yeah, you're not going to get any argument from me that making pencils out of leaves is a rewarding result of the movie, but I think that it is more the movie isn't building towards making pencils out of leaves. The movie is building towards are they good or bad parents? You know what I mean?
Well, can we play? I just want to play clip three here because this is really how the movie ends in the narrative here.
If this boy could have a leaf on his ankle, then we could make a pencil out of leaves.
What?
Let's all go to work!
That's the easiest logic jump.
Right. Well, this I think boy. It is sort of that Disney liberal sort of, you know, it's okay to be different, which is a good lesson, so... You know, it's a little heavy-handed, but it's also not made for adults. I mean, maybe it is made for parents.
Like, I do feel like it is made for, because we saw this in the theater.
Right.
And kids were, I mean, kids were distraught.
Looking at their watch.
Kids were like, where are the robots?
I think kids really connected to Timothy Green, and I think they're devastated that he dies in the end.
Well,
Can I ask a question? Do you know if this was successful? Was this a successful movie?
It was not a successful film.
Yeah.
And I will say the most successful thing from this movie is a viral video that spread around of a kid in the backseat of his car bawling.
Oh,
about
really?
Timothy Green is dead. And I will play a clip of that right here, and I'll tell you how much it made it when we come back here.
Aaron, so, what was the movie about?
It was about Timmy Green falling, but and he had to die. And then he had to die. I wanted to.
Circle of life.
Is that Mary Steenburgen?
It was so sad.
It was just so sad.
It was so
in this movie and are laughing.
All their sleeves came off, so we had to go.
Oh my god. Wanted him to live forever.
He had to go. He had to go.
Oh my god. This is amazing.
And it goes on for like another 3 minutes.
The kid's so resigned to it, too. He understands that that's what had to happen.
Yeah, oh yeah, he had to go.
It's like Bambi or Old Yeller or Dumbo, those kind of movies, right? I mean,
sure.
Yeah, I guess it is. It's a modern day, it is a modern day Bambi.
I think, I mean, it's.
Oh my God.
First of all, I think you have to, you know, I'm sure this was a story that Ahmed Zappa, you know, was told when he was going to sleep by a drunken Frank Zappa. Right?
a really tweaked out Frank Zappa being like,
grows out of the ground,
leaves, man. There's leaves on his legs, bro.
Yeah. But it felt like maybe a little bit of like a Shel Silverstein kind of story.
And I felt like there was elements of that, but then it got like weird. Like, I feel like there were like, those are the moments that like, there is a part of this movie that felt like it should be this fantasy world, this, but then they like drop in these, I guess, more heavier elements.
Yeah, like the plant closing and every, like, Joel Edgerton has to fire a bunch of people from the plant.
Uncle Bub dies.
And they leave the kid in the room with the dying. Like, if it's a kid's movie, it's like, this guy is dying on his deathbed. And he's like, he's really sick. And then they're like, well, leave Timothy in there. Yeah. You let him keep him.
Yeah, that was really upsetting. And the kid who plays Timothy Green, I thought was
great
wonderful.
Job. Did
and
great
when,
job.
And when Uncle Bub dies and that kid looks up and like you see on his expression, this old man has died in front of me. It's horrifying.
Yeah.
It's so upsetting.
Yeah, no, totally. Oh, absolutely. I thought the same thing. That is the scene where I was like, oh, this kid's a really good actor.
He's amazing.
Right.
Well, can we talk?
It's a huge success.
We'll be right back. Can we talk about the like the Titanic scene between Diane Wiest and the boy where he draws?
Oh my god!
I thought Titanic as well.
I did too. That's so funny.
He is a Picasso with a pencil, and he decides he basically says, "Look, that picture of you, Diane Wiest, is pretty ugly. I'm going to draw." They basically make him draw. This 10-year-old is going to draw a picture of Diane Wiest. And she's got a hairy chin.
Which I don't think you ever see, right? Like, I never saw.
You see it only in this...
after he draws it.
No,
right?
Right before he draws it.
Like, this.
Right before
he
draws
it. You
can only
see it in profile.
I did not notice it.
She turns it
away. Maybe
on
the big screen I would notice it, but I didn't notice it.
No, I noticed it. She turns it away that the light catches it, obviously, and then he draws it in.
Yeah, I missed that.
I was probably checking my phone.
Well, no, it's a good point, though, because here's what's weird about it. He draws her because he can only, you know, he can only be truthful to a fault with her hairy chin. And then she sees the picture and notices it because she's put her glasses on, but then says to everybody else, why didn't you tell me this?
And then Jennifer Garner unloads on.
Right. But I guess my point is, if she could see the picture, why couldn't she see her own hairy chin?
Well, I think she knows she has a hairy chin, but she didn't. She doesn't know.
She thought like she was maybe see it down
there.
She
was using
faint. You can't. It's like it's pretty wispy.
You guys, it's like a crazy amount of hair on her chin.
Yeah,
I didn't, I honestly didn't notice it. Maybe I've got to get my television fixed, but.
Yeah, you know,
I have a hairless setting on my.
It
takes
setting.
All the hair off of women's faces.
It has that setting. It's really good. These HD TVs are amazing.
I don't want to look at women with hairy faces, so just edit that out.
Yeah. Well, the two things
it's
I want to
talk about. It's completely out of sync for everything I watch. But
the two things about this scene that make it odd. One is she looks at the picture and she's like, oh my God, why didn't anyone tell me this? This boy is truthful.
Yeah.
Right.
What else? And then Jennifer Garner unloads, and then she fires Jennifer Garner.
Well, because Jennifer
Garner goes too far.
Jennifer Garner goes too far, and that's the thing that I actually liked about the movie was. And again, I can't believe I'm defending this. This is insanity.
But the
thing that I liked about the movie was here's a movie that is this fairy tale where the people who need to figure their shit out are the parents, not the kids. The kids are fine, you know.
Right.
The parents though are stone cold disasters. Like Jennifer Garner, like she can't. She just unloads on it. And she's competitive with her sister.
There's one thing that Jennifer Garner is really good at.
Yeah.
crying and smiling at the same time. Yeah. She's really, she has no problem.
Everybody
doing
in this
that.
Movie's on the verge of tears yeah. almost through the whole movie, just about to break.
Everybody has wet eyes.
Yeah.
But no, I cut you off.
No, no, that was just it. Just like it really is there. They have all of the problems and need to feel like she goes to, when given the opportunity with Diane Wiest, instead of making it right, she makes it worse. You know, like Timothy, again, is the catalyst, but she fucks it up.
And
then it has that funny, the real hilarious reveal when they say to House of Sand and Fog Lady, and I lost my job.
Right. There was one weird moment. I'm just not a major flaw, but the issue of how much time do they have to tell this story?
Yeah,
yeah. Well, that was what I was just going to say. Like the adoption woman is constantly putting a clock on. She's like, yeah. Guys,
TikTok.
Is there like a line out the door of other parents with this meeting?
But she also backs down really quickly when she's like, "Your time is up." Yeah, it was up 5 minutes ago, and Jennifer Garner's like, "But we just have to finish it." She's like, okay
go ahead. Yeah,
and then it's like, and this story in real time of telling must have taken hours.
Oh, hours. I was thinking about that because it was like, but also it's like she is, it's like she's trying to rush them through. You think at a certain point they could, well, I don't know, they could have collapsed the story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
By the way, why is the pencil factory shutting down?
I mean, computers. Just, you know,
everyone.
Well, who
uses pencils anymore?
But if there were pencils made out of leaves,
I did. Another thing I liked about this movie was the pencil factory. I loved seeing the pencil factory.
That was shot beautifully.
Yeah.
Yes.
The first like assembly line pencil factory thing was gorgeous.
With the yellow paint going in,
and the guy the DP is actually like a for real DP. I can't remember who it is, but I remember seeing
Peter Hedges is director.
Yeah,
and he did Gilbert Grape, and about he wrote that's a writer. Sorry, I thought he directed Gilbert Grape. Let's see.
It's ironic Peter Hedges directed this, don't you think?
Oh yes.
I do wonder though why they.
Oh, he's a writer director. He wrote and directed.
He wrote that Katie Holmes movie, didn't he?
About a boy. He wrote
it was good.
About a boy.
It was a good movie.
Yep. And
no. He didn't write About a Boy. Did he?
Peter? Yeah.
Oh, he wrote based the script. It's Nick Hornby book. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Sorry,
and then he wrote What's Eating Gilbert Grape, and now his first directorial thing was Dan in Real Life, Pieces of April. And
Piece of
this.
April is what I was thinking, yeah.
But I will say that I did like that Joel Edgerton's job was like somehow quality control in the pencil line. Like he would just find pencil and like, this one didn't cut it. This one goes.
And then he's
the
given
chat.
The thankless task of firing people. Like that's.
Why,
and then how about the mug that says I'm the boss on it?
As soon as
he delegates this boss job to somebody. I felt like there was enough like cleverness or like cues to people that were like jokey adult kind of
stuff. That was trying to. All right. Guys, this has really become a different episode.
This is funny.
We're recommending.
We're recommending it.
I can't believe I'm recommending it.
Well, I'm recommending
when I was
it.
Start,
like,
sit down
don't
to watch
go
it.
Out and buy the DVD. Or anything,
no.
But you know, if it's when it's eventually on TV,
yeah.
If you, I will say this: like, I will without a doubt tell my sister to watch this with her daughters.
Right.
Like, this is a movie I would tell my sister. Like, it's a cute movie. It's like, it's good.
There's I feel the same way about this movie. I felt.
Flabbergasted.
I know.
The same way I felt about Marley and Me.
Oh.
I loved Marley and Me.
Yeah. I didn't see
I
it.
It's
it.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
and Marley I saw, I mean,
yeah, that's
I
a solid tear jerking movie.
It's a dog movie. I've owned dogs and own dogs. I guess I own dogs.
Own and train them to fight. You have a very successful
Successful dog fighting ring.
But Marley and Me is a better movie, but this also, I mean, I didn't love this movie, but it wasn't a disaster.
It was definitely not a disaster.
Our response to you, like, is very interesting because when we saw it, we were again with about five people in the theater laughing, going crazy about it.
It has to change your experience
and then,
when you see it in that context with other comedians ready going
now, but,
in waiting to goof on it. Excited
but I did,
to goof on it.
But I did. I mean, there were parts of it I liked, and I actually thought that there were certain moments they really landed, like when the sister's at the hospital and Jen Garner shows up with Timothy Green, and the sister's response is, "I didn't know."
I would have bought that one.
I didn't buy it.
I thought that was good.
Really, people would say that.
Yeah.
She was like the good sibling
ice queen
sniping.
It was actually very dark. Like, it's a very dark sentiment. But overall, to me, I think the big flaw of the movie is that they're not forced to learn any of those lessons by the time that those leaves are gone.
I disagree.
I disagree.
I think that they learned those lessons the hard way by
and you're right. Oh, actually, you are. I disagree, but I will also say part of it is the realization that he's leaving. Because remember, they're fighting. They're fighting about that they're such bad parents.
Right.
And he says, "Stop fighting. Stop fighting." He's trying to tell them. That's when Timothy tries to tell them.
I've got something to tell you. But then that's kind of weird. They cut away.
Yeah, he doesn't tell them because they're fighting so much that they're bad parents, and they're saying, "We're sorry. We're going to do better. We're sorry." We're going to do better. And then there's the town meeting scene, and then they realize he's going to die. And then I think it's like they have now had this journey. And again, like they've been parents for what, maybe 6 months? I don't know. I can't believe I'm trying to explain this movie.
There are, I think we're both also, we're saying that there are certain flaws in the movie, as in movies.
Oh, yes.
As in most movies. It's not
a
masterpiece.
It's not
a
great movie.
But it's very watchable.
But it won me over, man. I don't know. I cried
it's
a bunch of this movie.
It's no Flight, you know, which I thought was the biggest disaster of the year.
Oh, Flight. Oh, we should talk about Flight.
Flight's it's the movie I hate the most of the past many years.
Really?
I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw Flight. June saw Flight the right way, which is she was awake for the first 20 minutes and then woke up for like the last 10. And it really, I think that
it's a great piece of half hour television.
Oh, yeah. It's a good 30 minute. If you watch the first 20 and the last 10, you're like, that was interesting.
I gave the finger in the movie theater to the screen about halfway. Fuck you! I was so pissed.
Well, it's also so weird because that movie is all about like, I feel like they were like blowing the lid off of like the life of an alcoholic. It's like, well, we've seen that. I mean, like it didn't seem like it was a new thing. I will say that the one thing I was disturbed about in this movie, Timothy Green, is I felt like, and now I feel even nervous to express these things to you guys because you like it so much, is that I feel like
so
he was,
weird.
That he was like cumming those leaves. Every time he dropped one of those leaves.
Oh, he would make like a cum face?
Yeah, he would close his eyes and cum those leaves.
Yeah, that was weird. I agree that was weird. Yeah. He would be doing something that he'd have like a moment of like, in my mind, it's like when a baby, when
he
you
was
realize.
Dropping his seeds.
It's like when you realize a baby is taking a shit in its diaper because the baby's making a bunch of noise, and then is oddly quiet.
Yeah.
For a second, it just gets a weird look on its face. You're like, oh, that baby's shitting right now.
I wish it was, what was that movie, The Peanut Butter Incident? Do you remember that movie?
Oh, that was like a Judy Blume book, right? Or something like that?
It was like a movie where these kids like put peanut butter on their body and grew hair. And it's sort of like...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was just...
Could you see that on your TV?
Like a pubic hair? Yeah.
So every strand. And I was expecting it to be a little, like we said earlier, a little more like about this morphing from a tree to a boy.
I would have loved it to be in a big tree in the front yard, and they always would have lived with Timothy
as a
tree.
Well, that was interesting, I guess. Last thing I'll say about it is that he, other than having leaves, he did not have any other plant-like qualities.
Right.
He got nourishment from the sun.
And he liked old ladies, and old ladies like trees, I guess, right? Because he did, we didn't talk about when he takes the barrette out of Diane Weiss' hair and like...
Oh, that was weird.
Yeah. Strokes her hair. Takes her glasses off. It's
and
like
she suddenly is getting beautiful. Fingered all of a sudden.
Yeah,
she gets very flush. She gets very flush when he's drawing her portrait. That was definitely weirdly sexual.
Yeah.
That
was a sexual.
Again, it seems to be coming from an original mind, an original sort of perspective on childhood and parenting, and for that I salute it.
Well, obviously we are divided for the first time ever on the show.
Really? So you guys never get to
we have
get
never
together.
Had this this
we've
debate.
Never had people as you and I, Tim, I think have genuinely like the movie.
Yeah, the only person I can think of is Jackie Clark liked the Jennifer Lopez movie, like The Backup Plan, and we did not like it.
Right.
I couldn't have thought.
I think it's you got to be honest. I mean, you can't just.
What's shocking to me is I fully expected us all to walk in and be like, "What the fuck are we gonna do? This was really good."
I thought to myself, "Well, this might be interesting."
Down this way.
What you expect is not always what you get.
I will tell you this much, that there are some people who agree with the two of you.
Uh-oh.
And here are some 5-star reviews on Amazon. These are people who liked it so much they gave the film 5 stars. This is from Kittykins. It's unusual for a movie to be released midweek, but this one opened on a Wednesday, so I was able to go on opening day.
Wow.
That is unusual.
Yeah, I was quite pleased with this fantasy film. I didn't really understand what the brief language they were talking about in the review was, but during the second viewing, I think I heard the H word a couple of times.
Oh.
And one character says, "Oh dear God," and I think the obnoxious sister character may have said God's name once very quietly. And I am very sensitive to such things.
Oh boy.
But
oh boy.
I was not offended. My personal preference would be that if they would pray for this child. In the story, we assume it's magic, but we know what the true source of the miracle was.
Really?
5 stars.
That's great.
Black magic.
Voldemort.
This is the first time I've ever gotten a review like this that on Amazon. 5 stars. I haven't watched it yet, but I'm looking forward to seeing it. 5 stars.
That's great.
And then... Five stars
of anticipation.
And then this one's weird because it's a very positive review, but it gets dark. From Vicky Frey, she goes, "This isn't a cutesy, silly, bathroom joke-infested Pixar romp."
Oh, boy.
And she goes, "And the guy who plays Timothy is so cute you'd swear your head's going to explode." But not in a sugary, sappy, Haley Joel Osment sort of way.
I agree
where
with
you
that.
Hope a roving band of fluffy pink monkeys will reclaim him to their tribe and relieve you of his presence.
What?
No, yeah. I think that that's a really valid point. And I salute that actor who played Timothy Green.
Oh, yeah.
Because I hope we see a lot more from this kid.
I really do, because he played cute in a way that was really sustainable.
Well, yeah. 38% on Rotten Tomatoes. People are mixed. Roger Ebert, though, gave it a very enthusiastic 3.5 stars.
My arch nemesis.
So there we go. That is The Odd Life of Timothy Green.
This is an odd episode.
It's an odd episode of How Did This Get Made?
The sequel is the predictable death of Timothy Green.
It ends
up a pencil.
If all those leaves became human pencils, they made it out of Timothy.
Yeah. This pencil is Timothy Green. Pencils are people.
So we talked about whether or not we would recommend it. The movie that I would actually recommend. Tim, you made a movie that I loved called The Comedy, which is on iTunes, and you should definitely check it out. It's really cool.
Thank you,
and
Paul.
And you're great in it.
Thank you.
It's really, really good. And is there a new season of Steve Brule coming up?
Not to be announced.
Okay.
No. More, right. I'd like to plug my movie show.
Yes. Oh, yes, of course.
On Cinema at the Cinema.
This is actually, if you've listened to the podcast, now it is on The Onion's new site. Was it?
Well, it's Thing X.
Thing X.
Yes.
Okay.
ThingX.tv or .com, whatever.
And every week you review movies.
Movies that are coming out this week. My special guest, Greg Turkington. And we're pretty kind. You know, not like this show. We like just about everything.
If you have not listened to On Cinema, if you've not seen it, you have to go check that out. It is another one of my favorite things. And now that it's in video form, it's really good. So that is
Thank
on
you.
thingx.com. You can find that. And Gene, you have anything you want to plug?
Burning Love airs
now.
Oh, I don't know when we're releasing this. Now.
Well, no. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll be there. Go to burninglove.com. Jason, what do you want to plug?
Nah, nothing much,
season
really.
Season 2 of Enlightened? Come on, you're on the
Season poster. 2 of Enlightened. Oh, sure, exciting. Why not?
I started watching the first season. I really liked it, and then I wanted my wife to watch it with me. So I'm gonna get back on board in that show. I liked it.
It's pretty good.
Are you in the first season as well?
I'm in the first season, well, very small part. I'm not as much in the second season.
I see, good.
But I'm oddly on the billboard.
Yeah,
I saw
that. Yes, you are. You
can follow me. People into watching it.
Yeah, exactly.
And just a reminder that we'll be live at Largo February 13th. That's in Los Angeles. Come get your tickets for a very romantic episode. I am at Paul Scheer on Twitter. June is at Miss June Diane, at Tim Heidecker, and Jason is still not on Twitter. We'll see you next week.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio Boom.com. Oh, oh, oh. The wolf dead.
Hey everyone, it's Jessica St. Clair
and Lennon Parham.
Hey assholes, it's me, John Gabris.
Lauren Lapkus here.
We just wanted to talk about one of our favorite podcasts to be on and to listen to, Improv for Humans.
I'm a huge Improv for Humans fan. I've done a number of episodes myself. A couple great memories.
One of them was when I got to argue about whether bestiality was disgusting or not.
A lot of times it's you, me, and Mandzukas,
yeah,
and Besser, and it's really old school, and there's something about not being on stage in front of an audience that makes you even crazier, yes, than you would be.
If I could recommend an episode to check out or a favorite memory from the podcast, I would say listen to some of the 420 episodes, because those are the ones I like to re-listen to, because I truly don't remember what I said.
Another great episode I loved doing was the Dan Deacon episode. I love his music, and being able to sit like 1 foot away from him and watch him create amazing music was so cool.
That's what's cool, is he gets people on for suggestions, yeah, often singers, songwriters.
Really,
if you're a real fan of improv, even if you've never actually heard improv before, this is a great introduction. You can't get better improv comedians than who he has on his podcast.
Everyone needs to be listening to Improv for Humans. Come on!
New episodes every Thursday. Be sure to listen to wherever you get your podcasts. But I recommend Stitcher. They make me say that.